It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
This episode of BGN Radio is brought to you by TeePublic.com for the t-shirt lovers and the t-shirt designers who like to have fun, laugh, look good, feel comfortable, get good jobs, get sweaty dancing, and go home with someone who also does those things. And we love TeePublic.com so much that we created our own store with all of our fun t-shirts and everything on TeePublic, including the BGN Radio store right now, is on sale. $14 for all of the t-shirts that we have on there. Just go to bgnradio.com, click on the store, and everything is there for you. Also, 15 to 25% off right now of all the accessories, mugs, stickers, phone cases, onesies, and a lot more. Just head to tpublic.com or, again, to bgnradio.com and click on the store.
You're listening to BGN Radio.
Anyone that wants to doubt me, it just fuels a fire, you know, and I'm just ready to prove anybody wrong and prove people right, the people that believed in me. So I'm ready to go.
Oh, what's going on, Bleeding Green Nation? It is episode number 246 of the BGN Radio podcast, and I'm not excited because it's 246. I'm not excited that we got BGN Radio t-shirts on sale for $14, and this is the last day that you can get them, although you can at the BGN Radio store. Just go to bgnradio.com and click on the store, and you can get taken care of there. I'm not even excited that I peed for 2 straight minutes, and it was the best feeling in the world. Boys, I'm excited because training camp is right around the corner. We finally made it through the dead zone. Here it is. Hey, Mr. Brandon Lee Gouton, Editor-in-Chief of Bleeding Green Nation, joins us. What's going on, pal? How are you?
Let's go. Let's get this thing going. Let's start up.
Jack Fritz from the Counterpoint podcast, looking lovely, and also producing the midday show today in place of James, who is in Portland, who currently right now at 4:50 p.m. on a Thursday is in fact dead.
He's dead?
Yeah, he's dead.
Again.
He told us in the text thread, I'm dead.
R.I.P. in peace. I'm good, John. I'm doing tomorrow 10 to 6, so I'm pulling the old, that's going to be a nice little 10-hour day for me tomorrow.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. Everybody's working hard, and we've got a lot of great things that are ahead of us, including... we are indeed, I will just tease this now, everything has not been signed, dotted, and I'd, but we will be joining up with the Green Legion, and we will be going to Los Angeles this season, so that's more fun and important news for us. Here we go. Hey. But all the details on that are up in the air, but just want to let you know we are going to L.A. We're going to be podcasting and doing all sorts of fun things out there, and it's going to be a great time. The morning show is going to be there, too, and it's very, 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 very exciting. So, BLG, what are the players that need to have the strongest summer in training camp, in preseason games and everything, to basically make the team, make the season better? What's the first thing that pops off of your head?
Yeah, I think when you think about this kind of question, we're usually talking about the depth guys, you know, the bottom of the roster, the bubble guys, if you will. But I'm not going in that direction to start us off. I'm going a little bit different here. I'm going with the guy who looked great in spring practices. No, not Nelson Aguilar, although we might be hearing his name later. That's a little bit of a tease for you. It's Alshon Jeffery for me. I think, you know, this guy, I think it's kind of a little understated how good of a spring he had even, and even just the fact that he was able to, knock on wood as I'm saying this, stay healthy, and that's what we just really need from him. And because those were the biggest concerns with Alshon, is staying on the field and staying out of trouble in terms of suspension and all that. And so far, he looks like he's been doing a great job. He was out there with the wide receivers. Not only was he hanging out with everyone in North Dakota with Carson Wentz, but he was fired up about it. He was taking pictures. He was doing dunks between his legs. He's taking videos, periscoping everything. He seems to really like this team. I like to see that. And I think, you know, building on that, I want to see him have a real strong summer, get through this training camp and preseason, ready to go for week one, and to really be that dominant force. Because I don't want Alshon Jeffrey to just come in here and be a guy. Like, that's not what we need. We need him to come in and be number one wide receiver, scaring the crap out of cornerbacks every week, and being that guy that Carson Wentz can rely on every single play.
Absolutely. We need. I know we've discussed a lot in the offseason about what if Alshon is at 900 yards, what if he's at 850? We need him to be at 1,100. We need 1,100. We need 10 touchdowns. We need 9 touchdowns. We need 8 touchdowns. We need somewhere in that vicinity to see him rock and roll. I agree. Jack, who's on your list? Who needs to have a strong summer?
First, back to Brandon real quick. Not only did Alshon not even have the best camp, according to most folks down there, but he didn't have the best dunk when he was out there in North Dakota. No one even talks about it.
Wow.
Nelson Agholor had an insane dunk that no one talks about, and I saw
it. I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, it was way better, and he had a better camp, so it's crazy. He's going to have a better year than Alshon. my first guy is not in worried of making the team or anything, but more in easing my tensions, and that is Carson Wentz. I think he has to come out, have a nice camp. Hopefully you see some of those mechanics get changed and fixed, and you don't see the same issues he had last year with the ball sailing. And I'm confident in that. You know, he had a tough middle of the season, figured out a little bit at the end of the season. But I'm confident in his whole offseason. Now he has the whole offseason to work on those mechanics. I like the people that he worked with, not only his coaching staff, but he went out to outside coaches. I'm confident in it. Now I just want to see it.
Yeah, I think there's something to that and getting into the rhythm of things. And I don't know if he needs that to kind of start off right away. Maybe by preseason, I think, by
more
to
preseason.
Make sure.
Yeah, I want to see in the first preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's totally valid. And honestly, if you don't think that all of us, and I'm asking, it might be celebrating it too early. But if there is a Donovan to T.O. moment with Wentz and Alshon in the opening preseason game, in the very first or second play, where they just say, fuck it, I'm going deep, and it splits two guys, it splits the safeties, and it's a 60-yard touchdown, if I don't see hashtag air yards bitch throughout my entire timeline, we have done something wrong. Absolutely.
So I might just be dead, actually. So. I don't think I'll be alive.
Maybe Twitter will just shut down in general.
Oh, my God.
And then just at Emery Hunt and at Charles McDonald as much as possible, then it'll be a lot of fun.
Vernon Adams.
That's right. So I think that is definitely the case, especially just, I think, for our tummies. I think you're right. I think overall, if Wentz is kind of a little bit in up and down, it won't drive everybody crazy. I'm sure we'll all talk about it at nauseam if it's getting there. But I still kind of think that BLG's theory of he's kind of a gamer is true. But he definitely needs the mechanical issues and things to kind of work out there. Boys, I'm going with Rasul Douglas needs to have a very strong summer from start to finish, because at the end of the day, he is your number one starting cornerback. It is not going to be Patrick Robinson. And if it is, there's going to be a heart attacks and heartbreak all over this place, because as much as we want to say, like, yeah, there is some nice things about this secondary, and I think everybody feels good about Malcolm and Rodney and all those guys that are hanging behind there, even some third safety talk as we go along here. There's still not a ton of confidence in Jalen Mills, and I know that people are rooting for him, and they think that he's going to have a great second year. And honestly, if he does for this Eagles team, that takes a lot of headaches away, especially when we start talking about playoff talk and things like that. So for Wentz to do his thing, I think, is great. But the downfall of this team will be in that secondary. There will be games to be given up by that if these guys aren't ready by, you know, week 5, week 6, whatever. So I think Rasul Douglas needs to come in there and take the starting job away immediately and take his lumps. That's at least what I want. I don't want to hear talk of, well, he just needs a couple of weeks just to hang out and see how this thing speeds up and does all this different stuff. I need Rasul Douglas to have a very strong summer so Patrick Robinson is more of a depth guy and maybe even can play a little nickel and play some outside in certain situations and dime and whatever else. But I need Rasul Douglas to get rocking and rolling here, BLJ.
Yeah, I'm right with you there, John. I need to see Rasul step up and earn that starting job, and I think he can. I'm not counting on it as a lock right now, but just think about, and even looking beyond this season, how nice it would be if Rasul Douglas shows just you know, he's not some kind of shutdown cornerback as a rookie. I mean, that would be awesome. But if he at least can just be the show the makings of being a solid starter, and then going into next offseason knowing you're adding Sidney Jones too, and you could have these two young cornerbacks on the outside, that would be awesome. And those cornerbacks would be facing potentially the next guy in my list here, who is none other than the man who was by some, but by meaning by some who were wrong, the best player.
He who shall not be named. Do you not listen to the Counterpoint podcast? Jesus.
The best wide receiver in the spring practices, which he was not, but he certainly surprised, and that's Nelson Agholor. And for me to be picking him, you know, obviously it says something, or at least it should say something if you've ever been aware of my stance on Nelson Agholor, which I am not, you know, ever really expecting much from him, considering just how bad he's been. Again, this isn't a player we're talking about here who's like, you know, they struggled, but they're trying, or, you know, like you can see some promise. No, to me, he's been so awful. He's been one of the worst wide receivers in the league, if not the worst. So for him to come in the spring and look good, that was surprising. But now the pads are going to go on in training camp, and I need to see how he looks when things are kind of getting more geared up towards real football. We're obviously, I need to see how he proves himself in preseason and all of that as well in the real games. But I really need to see Nelson Agholor step up here and prove that the spring practices weren't just a fluke and that he can kind of carry over this progress he's made into the actual season.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% with that regard. I think there are a lot of people that are going to look at that if he does have a strong summer and go, it doesn't matter. I still haven't seen it in a game before, because we even saw in his first year, I still have, and this is why I think I've always still believed in Nelson Agholor, is Mark Sanchez, and much like you were talking about with the DGB thing preseason, but like Mark Sanchez throws the worst ball I've ever seen to Nelson Agholor. He somehow grabs it, turns around, pivots, and runs through everybody down the sideline for a touchdown. And then I was like, there it is. There's the guy that, you know, we all sat on the couch and scouted through YouTube. That guy's the guy. That will replace Jeremy Maclin. This is going to be fine. I think that we actually need to see it in an actual game, and I don't think a strong summer is going to help Nelson Agholor's cred, at least. But I do agree that if he needs to have a strong camp to maybe even get a little more of those snaps in the slot and rotate with Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, I still need to see it in a game. I mean, I'm excited for what I've seen from the OTAs, all of that, but ultimately it comes down to what he does in the game. And if he does go off in a game, and it's not just that one flash play you talked about, it's consistent, competent wide receiver play, unlike anything we've seen before from Nelson, I'll be a lot more excited about him. And I'm excited now marginally, but if he comes out in preseason, looks competent, looks like he's getting it finally, I'll be triply excited. Like, I wanna talk myself into Nelson. I really like Nelson. I've talked about it before. I think he's a really good guy to keep around, and not lazy like Marcus Smith and DGB. So I'm rooting for him in that way. So my second guy is Vinnie Curry, and it's because not only I just think from a depth standpoint, I think the Eagles have talent along the defensive line. We all know that as well. But I've talked about it before. I'm worried about a Brandon Graham regression, and I think if Vinnie Curry can show something. Show that he is coming back from that injury that he had last season. He can spell Brandon Graham a little bit this year. Let Brandon rest up and be even more ferocious in the fourth quarter in closing out games. Because in the first half of last year, more than half of last year, Brandon Graham was at his best in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And as the season went on, you just can't keep that pace up. I think a fresh Vinnie Curry helps that a little bit. Chris Long, I don't really know what he's going to be. I think he could be good, but I'm also worried about his age and his whiteness. And
good Lord.
And Derek Barnett's a rookie. I like Derek Barnett a lot, but to just say, hey, he's going to be the guy regardless, whatever, he's going to come in and be dominant right away. I want to be there. I'm perfectly fine being there. I'm just not 100% saying that's going to happen.
Yeah, and just as far as, and I know BLG and I've had this discussion too, where where his contract is, at least it has to be serviceable for what he's giving you. So, I mean, even if he is that 30% guy that is in there, but during those 30% times, like, it's almost guaranteed he gets a sack, then I think you have the discussion of, like, okay, well, it was worth to keep around, keep all those legs fresh, just like you're saying, Jack. And, you know, I think he needs to have a strong summer. I think he needs to have a strong season too, BLG.
Yeah, I mean, just you got nothing out of him last year. And I mean, you got some hurries. The hurry numbers are better, obviously, than the sack numbers. You made 2.5, the same as Marcus Smith, as I like to point out, which is crazy, despite the fact that, like, Marcus Smith played 200 less snaps. But, yeah, the Vinny Curry contract is just, when you really look at it, it's kind of just insane. Like, he's, like, the fourth highest cap hit on the team. Like, that's ridiculous. And, again, it's not even just, like you can complain about the Ertz contract all you want, but at least the guy plays. Like, Vinny Curry couldn't even get on the field. Like, to me, that's even more disappointing than a guy who's at least able to get on the field. So, he needs to be some kind of valuable member in this pass rush rotation. I don't know how much he will be because you did bring in Chris Long. You do have Derek Barnett, and I think Barnett has the potential to, if not beat out Vinny Curry week one, and I don't even know how much that matters anyway, because I think those guys are going to rotate fairly often. He has to have some kind of significant role in this pass rush rotation, as Jack said, just to keep the other guys fresh and to do his part. And I think Vinny has the potential to do that. I don't think he's going to be this dominant starter that, you know, the Eagles obviously would, I think they would have hoped he would have been after you signed him to that kind of contract. But if he can be a contributor to contract, you can at least live with, and then you could pretty much move on from him after this season.
Absolutely. And, as opposed to the big name guys, I'm starting to get into, get down in the depth chart there. I think Corey Clement needs to have an outstanding summer. And that's not just because of anything else other than he needs to make this football team that way. There probably might be a few folks that might snatch him up that might need some running backs. Maybe he doesn't make it to the practice squad. Maybe the Eagles lose out and we all, you know, cry Henry Josie after he has, like, a couple of good preseason games. I just think now that what they've had and with bringing in, like, you know, LeGarrette Blount and a bunch of other these guys that are going through here, the running back situation just got really, really stacked with depth there. And I know that, you know, it's a one-year deal for LeGarrette Blount. Darren Sproles only has 1 year, but that still doesn't mean that, you know, they're going anywhere this year in particular. For as much of the, well, there's your bell cow running back stuff that happened when he got signed and how he just kind of came in here in OTAs, it's not that he did anything wrong. He just didn't really stand out. And, again, I always thought he was just kind of just a guy. Maybe he can prove me wrong by doing that. Or maybe he's a guy that replaces LeGarrette Blount after next year. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen. I just need to see what the Eagles see in him, because as much as I saw his college career, and there's a lot of different people that said, well, it's just the injuries that kind of kept him down from being great and a lot of this stuff, then I would like to see that through the summertime here, BLG. And I'm not really sure if he's already on the outside looking in. Do you expect him to make this football team at all?
I don't think there's any chance, really, because you're going to have your four running backs, and to me, that's LeGarrette Blount's a lock, and Darren Sproles obviously a lock. Donnell Pumphrey is a lock. I think Wendell Smallwood, to me, is a lock. I'm pretty sure they're not going to give up on him after just 1 year. I know Deuce Staley, we've always talked about that, likes him a lot. So I don't think Smallwood's going anywhere, and that's your four right there. I don't think they're keeping five. You can keep Corey Clement on the practice squad probably. So that's really what he's fighting for this summer, an opportunity to stay around. And that's valuable, because if he can stay on this team, as you said, John, maybe, you know, Blount's probably only here for a year. Darren Sproles is expected to retire. Maybe Smallwood doesn't amount to anything. Maybe Corey Clement isn't anything this year, but maybe he sticks around on the practice squad. He comes back next offseason, and all of a sudden, you know, the Eagles could easily still sign someone or draft someone next offseason, but Corey Clement would also be in the mix. He would have a shot to step up then. So maybe he's not playing so much for an opportunity this summer as much as he is trying to get into the good standing with the long term with the team. And speaking of depth guys, keeping with this theme, I'm kind of going with a guy who you probably, you know, I think we all recognize this name by now.
Tupac Shakur?
Certainly.
Oh.
Who? who is it?
I said Tupac Shakur?
Oh, yeah.
Biggie Smalls? Well, I recognize those names.
that's my number seven. Aaron Grimes.
Yes.
The good old Grimey. As no one calls him.
Yeah. As no one calls him. Well, no it's a thing now. So old, good old Grimy. Mark it down.
The first day of training camp.
So how did you get this nickname again? Anyway.
I have no idea.
Grime ball.
Yeah. I think, you know, we all look at Jalen Mills and Rasul Douglas as the obvious guys who really need to step up at cornerback. I think Grimes is an interesting name because when you look at how he's practiced, every single time, at least in the spring this year, and I don't know if you saw the same thing, John, but to me, he stood out at least one time every single practice. Yep. Like, he's always doing at least one good thing, and it's like, huh, you know, that's nice to see, especially when you have this cornerback position where it's supposed to be this big weakness. At least you have this one guy who's kind of doing his thing. And look, he looked good last year. When I saw him in spring last year, when I saw him in training camp last year, he obviously had that amazing interception in the Steelers game where he basically ran the wide receiver's route and picked it off. And it was incredible. Unfortunately, he got hurt on that play. But I think Grimes is an interesting player here. The Eagles gave him some first-team reps with the nickel defense, so I think he could potentially beat out Ron Brooks and be your nickel starter, or at least be some kind of rotational player in here. I think Grimes is an under-the-radar name to watch. I don't expect him to kind of get an opportunity on the outside, but if he can come in and be that nickel guy, then you don't have to put Malcolm Jenkins down in the slot there, and you can rely on him, and I think that helps the defense as a whole.
Absolutely, and I agree with your assessment 100%. I mean, there was a pass breakup. There was something where he was just always in the lane there, and, yeah, I'm really excited for Aaron Grimes in his training camp.
Aaron Grimes, I think it's only helping my prediction like 3 weeks ago where I said I think the cornerbacks aren't going to be great, but I don't think they're going to be atrocious.
Yes.
Because I think they're going to be I think they're going to be serviceable, and that's all I can ask for. One time, just some serviceable corners.
And that's the part of this that, you know, we've all been waiting for, and I think that they've been saying for a long time. If the secondary is serviceable and the pass rush is finally going to meet that expectation that we all thought was going to happen last year, then the serviceable secondary looks like a good secondary. You know, that's the difference between all that stuff, is that half second more, better pass rushers, and hopefully this thing kind of blows up into what we all expected here. Jack, and what's last group on your list here?
It's not a player. It's players. It's the left guard position. I want to see someone break out and show that they want that job. I don't really care if it's Barbary or Warmack or Wisniewski or whoever it is. Just someone be good there. Someone pop, look dominant, and complete this offensive line.
Do we still want Jason Kelce to be traded at this point? You know, I'm saying if there is a no doubt about that, there is like, all right, everything looks cool. Isaac Seumalo looks like he's going to play left guard. Should Wisniewski step in there and do it? Like, what do we want at the end of the day? Do we want Jason Kelce to be great, or do we want, I mean, good, serviceable, or would we rather just trade him and just start afresh?
I just want whatever is going to make the team the best. Like, if Kelce comes out, looks like he's stronger, looks like he can hold up in this kind of offense, not get pushed back by dominant defensive linemen, great. I'm happy with that, because it's not like you have to get rid of him right now. So if whatever helps the team in the best way possible, that's what I want. And then he can get rid of him. And if someone else looks fine, like Seumalo looks like he can come in and play center, then after the season, move on from Jason Kelce. And if Seumalo, in the contrary, if Seumalo comes in, dominates at center, Kelce looks like he's still getting beasted by guys in the middle, then move on from him. I want whoever makes this team better right away. I don't need to get rid of Kelce just to get rid of him.
And BLG, yeah, obviously your assessment on what's going to happen at that left guard position, but I'm basically going to ask you the same question. Does Jason Kelce, is he here to make Carson Wentz more comfortable in his second year? Because why change up the center position when it really doesn't need to? Kelsey's been doing it for a long time, and they probably have a great rapport already. Do you think that's a bigger factor than overall talent and ability from him this season?
I definitely think that plays into it, the fact that Carson has that communication and that chemistry with Jason Kelce. That's a factor that goes into this. As far as left guard goes, I think, you know, it's pretty much almost obvious that it's going to be Isaac Seumalo, unless like he just really struggled. Then it opens up to maybe Barber's in there, or maybe Warmack steps up, which I don't think is likely. I think he's probably just more of a backup, but there's some possibilities there. I think it's interesting because we saw Seumalo get some reps at center. Like, I think that's an interesting thing to be happening right now. And I think If Jason Kelce, I think the Jason Kelce situation is somewhat similar to the Jordan Matthews situation in that the Eagles aren't just going to ship out Jason Kelce for a seventh round pick. Like, I don't see the point of doing that. That's you don't do that. There's no point. You're not just getting rid of him to get value, any value you can. I think he is more value to the team in that circumstance. But if someone's coming and offering you like a fourth, which I don't think would happen, but let's say they did, I think at that point you might just have to, because you already have Wisniewski and you already have Sumalo and you already have Warmack and Barber. Like, you have all these guys. I think if someone comes with a strong offer for Kelce, and you would save cap space too, I just don't see how you would say no to that.
And who do you think well, real quick, Jack, go ahead to get another point.
How much do you value what he brings pre-snap? Like, how much do you value when he comes up the line, he makes this, he sees what's going on out there and translates to Carson? Do you value that a lot? Or because I don't think Sumalo or Wisniewski really bring the same kind of mental side of the game to the line when they walk up to it. Do you value that a lot or not at all?
Just from everything that, and Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, everything I've been told is Isaac Sumalo is so smart.
Really?
And that Wisniewski is actually so smart when it comes to all of those different things. Now, Wisniewski seems like kind of a butthole, but but he also is like one of those guys that, like, I know everything, I'm the center, and everybody's supposed to hate me, guys. So I don't know, BLG. I think there is definitely some value with that, and I do think it matters between all of that stuff. I think both of those guys are very capable of doing the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to say. Obviously, I think that's really a good question for Carson, and obviously he's going to say Kelce. It's really valuable.
You're going to steal that. You're going to ask that on the first day of training camp because Jack's going to be with us too.
But I mean, you're not going to.
No, I have my questions lined up. You know my questions already. Thank you.
But, you know, I think you have to look at it like in that sense. Yes, I think Kelce has more value than those guys, perhaps from that perspective. But even still, I think he's really only going to be here. We thought there was a pretty good chance he wasn't going to be back for this season. So I think, you know, reading the tea leaves, I don't think he's really back after this year. So if you can get, again, like a fourth round pick for him, which I'm not expecting, but if that's on the table, I mean, you have to take that pick over one season of a guy who might know, you know, the call is better.
And that's what's going to be the most interesting thing about this summer is and I feel really bad for Brandon. I really do. Here's why. There's one cutdown day, right? So it is just going to be an atrocious amount of transactions in 12 hours, and we're not going to see BLG for a while. We're not going to talk to him. I don't even know if he'll be alive again, like everybody dies here every now and again. That's going to be the worst day ever for Brandon Legault.
I love how you feel bad for Brandon, but not the players getting cut.
I'm the real victim.
Awesome. Yeah, the real victim is the guy that says, "Hey, man, there was a red tag in your locker." Yeah,
sorry, Brandon.
Coach wants to see you. Bring your playbook.
Yeah, but did you think about Brandon Legault and Coach?
You know what's funny too is like how do the conversations go? Do you think they have the conversations like long before the cutdown day? It's just like, hey, we're going to give you some more playing time. We're going to do a whole bunch of other different things so you can try and, you know, maneuver yourself and get to a team. But, yeah, man, sorry, you're going to be cut, but you're going to play in the last preseason game.
Why are they doing only one day?
I don't know. The owners ratified it. I think it's because so they don't have to – maybe it gives them a little more time to evaluate.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, that
it seems weird.
Preseason game when there's backups only playing anyway.
Yeah, and just kind of throw everybody in there and gives people a rest. And maybe it's because that they just need all those bodies in camp to get through camp. You know, I don't know, to make the players a little more happy. I think all that bullshit is just to get where the CBA is going to be in 2020. It's like, well, we're giving you all the players now. Now you don't have to, all the starters don't have to wear themselves out. And, you know, we're trying to help. I think that's more or less what it is, but maybe I'm wrong on that. So, again, I'll feel bad for Brandon. I'll feel mostly bad for the players that aren't getting the opportunities.
Thank you.
But it's not like they can't land somewhere else. And it might be a boat race. There might just be so many trades that day on top of that. Like, I have no idea how it's going to work. So if they finally come up with a deal and it's, okay, we'll give you Jason Kelce and Michael Kendricks and you give us a pick and we'll swap picks and you give us Chicago, finally, you know, send over all the corners that you have because we need the depth, and thank you very much. So leading to that is, you know, we've gone all over the place here with who needs to have a strong summer. And it's not just because we interviewed him on the BGN radio show. And if you haven't listened to it already, you definitely should.
How y'all doing today?
I was actually just watching you rap a little bit through, I think it was your Instagram or something like that. Is that what you do? Is that what you do through during your off season, man? You're trying to get those reps down too?
Oh, man. Hey, Freestyle Friday. Man.
That's right.
What do you say? From the grind. Just a little hobby on the side.
I think it's going to be Marcus Johnson. Marcus Johnson needs to have the strongest summer out of all these guys. You're competing against a fifth round pick who, despite, you know, all the different kind of headaches that he's had and just struggles with OTAs and dropping the football, you know, you have Sheldon Gibson, who is a guy that they want to keep around. Like, he's going to be the next deep threat that's going on. You're also competing against a fourth-round rookie in Mac Hollins, who's already pretty much guaranteed a spot, and a guy that's only making $500,000 of guaranteed money in Torrey Smith. It's pretty limited here. Like, Marcus is so easy to root for, and I think he can be a nice fifth, sixth wide receiver and kind of work his way up from there and maybe even be a tiny bit of a surprise and have a very good NFL career. And he needs to have the strongest summer out of all of the wide receivers that are here now. Everybody else to me is practically safe, and he needs to make so much noise that it is absolutely impossible, BLG, for them to consider anyone else or just having Sheldon Gibson on an active roster spot or any of that. I think Marcus Johnson needs to have the strongest summer out of anybody that I can think of.
I don't like to read into spring practices too much where you're looking at them and you're saying, all right, you know, this guy really, you know, is good, so he's definitely locked to make the team because he was good in OTAs and things like that. There's only so many things you can take. We've talked about this before. But the way Sheldon Gibson was struggling in individual drills, you know, I felt bad each day, like tweeting out, like, all right, Sheldon Gibson can't catch a pass yet again. And it kind of just got, like, depressing at times. And, you know, it's kind of like there was a moment in practice one day where he dropped, like, three reps in a row. Like, they just kept having him do the rep over and over, and he just couldn't get it. And then he finally did, and all his teammates clapped for him, and it's kind of just like, that's nice, but also it's like, come on, man, this is like the NFL. Like, you're not going to get those second opportunities in the games and things like that. Like, you need to come in here and be ready for that, and I'm glad to see they support their teammate, but it's just like, if you're struggling in individuals, you know, that's hard because you're not even being asked to, like, think of all the complexities that are going on in the play. You're being asked to do a simple drill and catch the ball, and not being able to do that, obviously a big concern. So that's a big red flag for me. He's another guy that could really easily be on this list because I think
bonus name.
As a fifth round pick, usually you think those guys are roster locks, but not always. I mean, he's not guaranteed anything. I think the Eagles could either, you know, try to keep him on the practice squad if somehow he would make it through there. They feel like he could do that, or injured reserve if he gets hurt in the preseason with some kind of minor injury, try to stash him away for the season. I think Marcus Johnson actually has a real chance to surprise people and step up and be that fifth or sixth receiver, depending on whether the Eagles trade Jordan Matthews. And I know there are BGN readers who hate that I bring up the fact that the Eagles might trade Jordan Matthews
every time
I mention his name.
Yeah.
So I had to do it for all those people who hate that. You're welcome. I think that's where it's at. I think Johnson, you know, has a chance to make this team and kind of surprise some people.
Yeah, I'm excited, and I hope that happens. This just came in, which is very surprising to me. This is not Eagles-related. I'm just blown away that this actually happened. Dan Orlovsky just got signed by the Rams. How does this guy still have an NFL career? Honestly, I mean, Jesus Christ.
He ran right out of the back of the end zone right into L.A.
Yes. I mean, that's all he did. And I mean, like, he has never played a football game, really, ever, in his career. He's never played a real – I know that stats will disagree with me, and they'll be like, no, dude, he definitely played games. But he has never played a real NFL game.
Is this like my theory that I've never seen Danny Green hit a three?
Yes, exactly.
Like, I've just never seen it.
It never happens. I've never seen it. I'm just blown away. Like, what? At what point do you just – and I get it. Look, there are people that are probably going to blow up and go cap on it too, which I do agree. Like, that's atrocious. But it's also – you're not going to bring Colin Kaepernick in there.
To be his, like, fourth string.
To back up Jared Goff.
Well,
I have a really important question, though.
Yes.
Is Dan Orlovsky better than Jared Goff?
It's a good question. That's a fantastic question.
No one's talking about it.
I have no idea. This is more upsetting to... What's that, buddy?
Would you take him over Goff right now if you had to win a game today?
Jesus, that's a really good question.
It's not a... I mean, it's not... You're taking Jared Goff. I mean, like...
Would you, though?
I'm probably not.
Oh, come on.
Because I know that... I know exactly what Dan Orlovsky is, and I think that... I mean, he's gonna complete 57% of his passes and throw an interception and maybe a touchdown. So at least it won't be four interceptions, right? Like, I don't know. Who are you taking, Brandon?
I mean, Jared Goff's rookie year is pretty brutal, I have to say. But also, Dan Orlovsky is pretty brutal. I think I'd take G.J. Kinney.
Yes. Hey, G.J. Kinney. Speaking of that, you know, with the retirement party thing. Might be happening in October. It might be happening in season now because we just couldn't really put everything together, but it's not going away. It's still on the table. All I have to say is this Dan Orlovsky thing has made me just as upset as I went to lunch with our boss, Spike Eskin, and on 4th and Market, there's some dude wearing a Dak Prescott fucking jersey right in front of me.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just like they just wear that shit to be trolls.
Yeah.
Like there's no other reason to wear that out in public. It's like you're wearing that just so people say, "Yo, man, fuck the Cowboys, yeah, bro."
See, and then you tweet out, "See, yeah. I told you Philly fans are the worst."
And then I'll be like, "Yo, bro, I won Super Bowls, man. How many you got?" And he has a Delco accent because he's not from Dallas. it's sweet. Exactly. Fucking jerk off.
Also, noted in this picture, the cell phone holster, why would you wear a jersey?
Well, because the last time they won a Super Bowl, that was
still cool, right? I don't know if it was ever cool. Those are all just like IT guys, right? That kind of that's how that started, and then they made them smaller, and then you would carry your Blackberries around, and then it became like, oh, I'm the businessman. This is the businessman clip. And,
that's a great voice.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. But with all that being said, we are very excited that training camp is right around the corner. The hot takes will slowly die down. Well, not necessarily. I guess the excitement level bumps up, and then everybody has enormous takes, especially in the fantasy football community. It's my favorite, by the way.
Especially he who shall not be named.
So be paying attention to that. Follow us all on Twitter for updates. And also, I don't think we have said this yet, but every day on the WIP Morning Show, you will have an update from either Brandon Lee Gowton, John Barchard, Jack Fritz, or somebody that is around us in the 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock hours every time that we are down at camp rocking and rolling with all of the good stuff. So we will have constant updates happening. And then on July 27th, on Thursday, where all the players report, that is the first day of BGN Radio Daily. Me and James Seltzer are going to kick it off Facebook. There's a separate feed that we will definitely be posting from now on, and we'll probably stick just everything in both feeds for a couple of weeks just to get people used to things, and then we'll say, all right, if you like this programming, then here's the other feed for it. So we're all excited to do that. Plus, we got a lot of other major things that are happening throughout the season that I think will be very, very awesome. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty and head to the questions. BLG, our good friend Stephen Lee, as always, chiming in, one of our favorites, and I think one of the first Patreon subscribers, along with Carrie, and you can do that at patreon.com/BGN Radio. Who had the worst offseason? Was it Dallas or was it Washington, Mr. BLG?
Before I answer this question, I got to give credit to our guy, Stephen Lee, one of the best question askers regularly.
Yes, absolutely.
In our Q&A sessions. Also very good specifically at setting over-unders. I feel like he has to be our official over-under guy from now on. He's pretty good at that when it comes to that. So
yeah, maybe we'll
props to Stephen Lee.
Maybe we'll get him, maybe we'll stick a microphone in front of his face somehow and just be like, you know, he'll be the voice of the over-unders from now on.
There we go.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
So big props to him. As for the question itself, oh, man, I love the question. It's a beautiful question. How could you go wrong? I think it has to be Washington. I really do. I know the Cowboys have gotten in a lot of trouble and everything, but I still think they're going to be a good team overall. Washington, I mean, I think the damage they've done this offseason is just more long-term. Like, mm-hmm. They fired the best general manager they've had in years. They have a franchise quarterback. Like, they did the hard part of getting a franchise quarterback and drafting him and developing him and getting him weapons and getting him to play at a high level. And then they messed up the easiest part, which is just to pay the guy.
Yes.
They and then And then they did it. They made it even worse. They released the contract details. Like, no one ever does that in the NFL because, like, you just
so
don't
dumb.
Do that. So they totally just botched this whole thing. They're screwed. They either have to, one, pay Kirk Cousins, excuse me, as Bruce Allen would say, or Kirk Coupon,
there
excuse
go.
Me, as I would say. You either have to pay him a boatload of money, and you have to make a guy who is like, I forget the record, I don't have it in front of me, but he does not fare well against teams with winning records, the most money in NFL history by far, or you have to let him walk, and then the only quarterbacks you have on your roster right now, other than Cousins, are Colt McCoy and that Sudfeld guy who,
Nate
whatever.
Sudfeld.
He's nothing.
From?
He sucks.
University of Indiana?
So I think it has to be like Washington 90. Who screwed up more.
I think we're all in agreement here. And not only, BLG, not only did they screw this thing up with dumping a whole bunch of draft picks into a guy that, and let's be honest, everybody thought for a year, there's like, ooh, this is going to be a great rivalry between RG3 and Andrew Luck, and we're never going to know who's going to be good at the end of that. Well, after 1 year, we found out that's not going to stick around for much longer. On top of that, they paid insurance on that and drafted him in the fourth round, and guess what? It kind of fucking worked. It worked! It worked! And they're pissing it away. That's the most amazing thing that I have ever seen in football. Imagine drafting, who's another first-round bust off the top of somebody's head?
Ryan Leaf.
Imagine if the Cowboys drafted Ryan Leaf in the first round and Dak Prescott in the fourth, and they still fucked it up. Like, that to me is mind-blowing. Like, this is why Washington will always be bad, and why every single, and I'm not saying this as an Eagles fan shitting on them. All of Washington needs to just stop rooting for the football team. Just leave. You are paying that fucking asshole good money to fuck you in the ass. Like, it is done. I would say to every single Washington fan, as just an NFL fan alone, because if this happened in Philadelphia, oh my God, we would have burned the building down. Like, don't go to the games. Cancel all of your season ticket plans. Just stop watching the football team. I know that's hard, and I know you're going to get criticized and saying, like, oh, well, I'm not a true fan or whatever. We've reached the point of the money that's going in there is doing nothing but to ruin your life because you're not enjoying your Sundays anymore. You're not going through there to be like, oh, I think we have a playoff chance. Hey, we had this like little thing. We're building a great team together. I think despite losing Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, they've drafted pretty well to kind of replace those. There's some nice pieces. Our offensive line is looking good. Our defense looks pretty good. We have, you know, the highest paid, you know, free agent in Josh Norman. All of that shit is not going to work after this season. It's done. This is your last year of being competent in this NFL. This is it. All of Washington, I am begging of you. I hate Dan Snyder so much that I just want you to stop giving him fucking money. Why are you giving this dumb asshole money? Stop. Stop it. That's brotherly love from me to you. Please stop giving Dan Snyder money.
So I, too, think Washington had the worst offense.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And we're talking about, I want to talk about the Cowboys for a second here. All of their players got arrested, but none of them are like it's all short term. Like, and wait, hold on. Jalen Smith, 6 to 9 more months.
On top of like going to be ready to go for a training game. Actually, the nerve is not that great.
What kicks in first, the Kings pick or Jalen Smith plays the game?
Yeah, BLG, which one happens first for you?
What's that again?
Kings pick kicks in or Jalen Smith has no more nerve issues?
Kings pick.
Yeah, me too.
But the Washington, I mean, they are so beyond fucked, and no one's talking about it.
Yes.
Like, they are. Do you think Washington sports radio, like, are they just in denial?
I don't know. Like, this is the time where you want to call Chad Dukes and be like, dude,
what's going on?
I need that rant again.
Chad had me on last week, actually.
Did he?
They're pretty, I think, here's the thing about Washington fans that, like, so when we talk about Cowboys fans and how they're the most delusional in sports.
Oh, they're next, by the way, but yeah, go ahead.
Like, that kind of sounds like, all right, you know, that's coming from Eagles fans. Of course we're going to say that. Look, I'm not going to say that about Washington fans. Washington fans, for the most part, I would say, are not as delusional. I think they're really more realistic about how bad their team is and how much it sucks. At least our good friends at Hogs Haven.
Yes.
They're usually pretty realistic about that
stuff.
I
agree with that. I know. You know who's not realistic? Blogging the Boys. And the Dallas Cowboys franchise. A fan, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is hush money. all of this Ezekiel Elliott stuff, the guy that disappears all of a sudden after they gave the statement to 105.3 The Fan is like, I didn't see him punch anybody, and then just deletes his social media after that. And then
the key witness was the guy who wanted to take a selfie with Zeke.
Yes, exactly. So, okay. And then all of a sudden the Dallas PD publicly on Twitter is asking for the DJ that got pumped in the nose. Punched in the nose. Same thing, right? But the police report goes away. I mean, the guy, listen, it's not saying like, oh, then there's just some big cover-up and you're a conspiracy theorist. No. This happens in the NFL all the time. We've heard stories about it. We've heard stories with Eagles players. Everybody has a cleanup guy. This is what it is. And that's why, no. And the thing that pisses me off the most is no matter what Dallas does and how many awful scumbags that they have run through there, because they are talented football players, Jerry doesn't give a shit. And that's what will continually be there. They will always be semi-relevant because they have a bunch of reigning douchebags that are on their football team, and that's it. I know some people don't care about that. I know it's just like, oh, whatever, just leave alone and you're being biased and you're an Eagles fan. No, I'm not. Like, Dallas fans are stupid because they all just think that we're piling on and be like, oh, you wouldn't be saying that it was LeSean McCoy. Bullshit.
Yeah,
we said take him. I don't, you know, Nigel Bradham, the same last year. Take him, Josh Huff. I don't know what you're doing, man. You're an idiot. Like, people, they have... I just don't understand it anymore.
The best that I saw was a tweet that was like, actually, suspension's a good thing because it's only going to help them as the season goes on, which like is true, but it's also like a shit take. It's just like, come on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Washington still wins, but Dallas is clearly the most delusional here. We appreciate the question, Stephen Lee. From our good friend Neil Dutton, who actually just made his debut on the Roto-Viz podcast, and he gave a little Eagles preview with our good friend Jimmy Kempski, who's obviously going to be a dumpster fire this season. What changes would you make to the uniforms all around in the NFL here, BLG? Would it be something like Tampa taking the crimson to go back? He says the Chargers powder blue. I think that's the best jersey in the NFL, and they should wear that all the time. So that's what I would change. Is there a jersey change that you would make in the NFL?
I love the powder blue. I love the creamsicles, by the way.
I don't get that.
I think I mentioned that before. I think Madden 2013 or so, I would play with like Josh Freeman and LeGarrette Blount. Funny enough, now on the Eagles, and I would always use the creamsicle jerseys online. I just love that team for some reason. I love that jersey. And as far as the Eagles go, there's a really cool mock-up that someone did. NMSports.net. It's up on BleedingGreenNation.com right now. So you can go check that out. I think the ones that he made, those Kelly Greens, if you've heard me talk about the uniforms before, I'm a huge Kelly Green guy. The Midnight Green is so boring. I feel like that era is just over. We need to usher in a new era, and I think we need new jerseys. Look at those, like, I feel like the NBA and other leagues, like, they just have new jerseys all the time, and it's like this easy thing.
Yes.
Like the NFL, it's like this complicated process, and it's just like never happens. It's so boring. NFL needs, you know, they're already doing stuff to help with the more excitement and the touchdowns and celebration, things like that. Let's spruce up the uniforms too.
Yeah, I like that idea. Just a nice clean look of whatever, even if it's combining, you know, both the eras and finding like a good middle.
My favorite jersey is the New England Patriots red one.
Oh, no, that's a really good one,
I would
one
like
too.
To bring that back.
I like their old school logo, too.
So did I.
Yeah.
I'm a big vintage guy. Like, I love Kelly Green. I love the old Phillies logo. Like, when they wore powder blues in Milwaukee last week, and I love the powder blues.
It's crazy because most of the people hated them when they wore them.
And that's
but now they're great now.
That's what John Mark said. But yeah. I think, you know, when I don't know. I like the vintage. I like the old Sixers logos. Everything. All vintage. The Flyers never change. But.
Yeah. Vintage is still the same.
Which is cool. I like that.
Oddly enough, for their playoff chances most years in and out as well. So this is coming from our good friends, the Green Legion, as we just mentioned. We're going to team up with them, and we are going to Los Angeles. We're still trying to work out all the details. But definitely go and check them out at Simply. Just going to their website there, greenlegion.com. They've got a lot of trips just booked, not just L.A. I know that they have one that's coming up for Kansas City. They take care of all of the different headaches that you have to do, the tickets, airfare if you need it, hotels. It's all in one package. They're great guys. We're going to have a fun time. They do tailgates. for home games as well. So go check them out, greenlegion.com, and we'll give you all the fun details of what's going on as we make our way out to L.A. BLG, obviously Lehigh was more fun for fans, but what's better for the team? Is it camp at Lehigh or is it camp at NovaCare?
It's easily camp at NovaCare. There's just so much like equipment and all of the convenience of everything involved there, the sports science, all of just having the locker room and the weight room right there. And I think that's easily way more convenient for the players, and I think better for the team overall. And look, there was an incident just this spring where the power went out one day. Like, if that happened in Lehigh, like, the team's kind of just screwed.
Yeah, you're
screwed.
Yeah.
And I was there, and so they went over to the link, and they could do it there. So boom. And then there was—I remember being there, or you know, back in the day when they would practice indoors when it rained at Lehigh. Like it wasn't even a real practice. Like they were standing in like a basketball gym and like just basically like standing around. Like now they can at least go into the bubble, and the bubble's limited because it's not huge, but they can at least do some things. Like they couldn't do anything if it rained back in training camp when it practiced. They practiced at Lehigh. So I get that the atmosphere was great at Lehigh, but to me it's way better for the team to have it in Philly.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, there's just like you said, everything's right there. The weight room's there. Their training programs are all kind of set in place. Everyone has, you know, one spot to go into. And I know it's not as cool for the fans, but at the same time, yeah, I think it, well, plus the drive for us is so much faster.
Like, I mean, it's in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Like who cares? I mean, I like the
people. Wow, look at that.
Like, they're not like
Lehigh Valley.
I don't know, man. Like
Zach Fritz, number one enemy.
like there's so many more people down here. Like Westchester made more sense. Cause me.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Westchester.
Yeah, just put it in Westchester.
That's where it was.
Because Westchester's awesome.
That's where it was.
It was it?
Yeah.
When?
It was before NovaCare. Or before Lehigh.
Oh, yeah. way back. See, I don't know.
Yeah, it was like
that.
Bill Berge, all those guys.
Wow, look at that.
Parents.
Yeah, Westchester. All right, in that sense, it would make a little more sense.
But I mean, it wouldn't make sense now.
Yeah. I don't know why. Does anybody remember why Andy chose Lehigh?
It's just so random.
Yeah. There's probably a story behind it. Tell us because, I mean, we'll probably Google it afterwards and whatever, but just let us know because I'm very curious about that. From not my real emails, because although James Seltzer is not here, he did, in fact, have beers in Portland with our good friend John from Portland at Not My Real Email. So
nice.
He asks, and we wish we could do that too, and we're very jealous of it. If the left guard battle is so close in camp, how do the coaches decide? Is it an eating contest? Is it a talent show? An 8 mile rap battle? And who wins, Jack Fritz?
To which one, though?
You have to choose it, and who wins?
Stefan Wisniewski wins the eating contest.
Yeah, I like that.
Ooh,
I'm not sure. I feel like Sayo Mala would whoop his ass.
Really?
Yeah, he looks like an eater to me.
I think Wisniewski's got a nasty edge to him, and I think that really comes out when you're in an eating contest.
Depends on the food, but
he's got the edge to him that you need. He's got a little Joey Chestnut in him.
So you say eating contest, and it's Wisniewski.
Yes.
All right, BLG, you have talent show or 8 mile battle rap. Which one are you choosing, and who wins?
Can I make up my own?
You can make up your own.
I'm going to say a beauty contest because obviously Isaac Sumalo has the best hair out of all of the offensive linemen in that competition. I don't know. I think you saw it, John. Dude, that fro is huge. That thing is awesome. I think he wins.
Man, I like that idea. I'm going to go with the talent show, and I think it's Chance Warmack that wins the talent show because I think he's just got a hidden talent that we've never seen before. And I'm just going to go with that.
Okay.
I think he's going to surprise everybody. It's just like, oh, actually, I'm a better magician than John Dernboss, and I'm going to make the entire locker room disappear.
I don't think Stefan Wisniewski has a talent. I just don't think he could do anything.
He just said he could eat like a madman. That's talent.
No, I know, but that's like having a nasty. Like, I don't think he's really good at anything else like besides playing football. And like he doesn't strike me as a guy that has many hobbies.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I don't think so either. Or has like the nerdiest hobby ever.
Oh, he's definitely not a reader.
No, he's not. Oh, I think he is a reader.
Really?
I think he. Yeah, I think he would. I think he's like. Here is my collection of ships in a bottle.
Oh no. We're talking about Stefan Wisniewski.
Yeah, yeah. Like the nerdiest thing you can think of, I think, is what his like hobby is. Or just something that nobody else is into, really, except for old people.
Oh, I see no way.
No.
I see it's rolling out of bed, what do I eat today? And then back in bed. That's all I see.
Total knuckle dragger, Stefan Wisniewski. Again, you can let Jack know what you think about his opinions at James Seltzer. for that. This is from our Tim Westcott. Fantastic question. I love this question, BLG. Would you rather have the NFC East be like the early 90s, lots of great teams, or the early 2000s where the Eagles are good, the rest are bad? And for him, he's saying, oh, I'll take the 2000 time when the Eagles were good and everybody else is bad. Well, would you want the NFC East to be rocking and rolling or not?
All right. Now, I was listening to the podcast last week, and you guys are talking about, oh, it would just be so great if Dak Prescott's really good and, Wentz is really good.
Yes, it would.
And that would just be awesome.
It would be great.
No, I don't want the Cowboys to be good at all. I want them to suck every year. I want them to go at 0-16 every single year. I don't want to see the Cowboys be good. I don't want to see them accidentally, like, almost maybe Eli Manning themselves into, like, a Super Bowl ring or two. I don't want them anywhere near the playoffs. I don't want them to be good. I get the idea. I've heard it that – you know, oh, the rest of the East being good helps the Eagles be good. No, look at the Patriots dominating the division every year.
Yeah.
I want the Eagles to be good. I want everyone else to suck.
Yeah, I'm just the same way. I want every team in the NFC East to be good because the regular season is so fucking good when that happens.
Yep.
It's the highest highs and the lowest lows. Everybody thinks is like, oh, we're never going to make the playoffs. We're totally going to make the playoffs. It just goes back and forth. I love the upswings and downswings of the football season. Sure, is it nice to go like, fuck you guys. We're going to run nine in a row, and we're just going to run everybody over and make the playoffs every year. Yes, I trust me. At the end of the day, I would, of course, love that. But just the fact that you can say, in the same along the lines of, if Dak Prescott ends up being really good and has a good career, and the Eagles still fucking whoop his ass every time, I get to stomp all over draft Twitter when that happens. Say, I told you, I told you, I told you. I want all the competition in the world and them to come out on top.
I'm in complete agreement with John Bartridge. Oh my God! I want to shit.
BLG writes the checks though, so you're in trouble.
I agree, but oh my God, dude! Fired. Like I think sports and sports rivalries. I think it's all gotten soft. I think Red Sox Yankees gotten soft. I think Carolina.
Are you going to go on a participation trophies rant here in a minute?
I mean, I don't like them, but. But
I'm
like,
just kidding.
No, but like you, I do think rivalries have gotten soft. Like, there's not a great rivalry anymore. Like, there's sure Michigan, Ohio State's still fine. Duke, Carolina is not the same as it used to be. Red Sox, Yankees not the same as it used to be. And God damn it, I want everyone to be good and angry at each other. And it brings out the best and the worst in sports fans.
Yes.
And I want to be angry all the time, or it would make winning that much more sweet. I understand winning the regular season and like the Patriots. I get it. It's cool. But like. Like every year going in and out, being like, are we going to win the NFC? It's just going to make everything more exciting rather than rolling out of bed. And it's going to be more fun. I think it's going to be more fun. Beating the Cowboys when they're good is always more fun than beating them when they're bad. I get it. When they're bad, that's better for everyone. But it's just also way more fun to shit on them.
Yes. And I'm the same way with video games and everything else. Like, if especially in Brandon and all the rest of the Overwatch world, as I keep posting those videos. We'll know this. Like, I hate guys that play like the same hero and just fucking win every time. And like, I win. You know, like, no, man. I want to see all of the greatness. I want to see that you can, you know, master all of these different things. I don't like the mentality of like, oh yeah, well we're just gonna win because everybody else sucks. No, I want them. And trust me, it's not like I won't be happy. That would be awesome. But it's more satisfying.
The
it's
games
just more
are gonna
satisfying.
Be even more tense. Yes. Like you're gonna be like you like. You're going to think about that game like, I need this for my life. Like,
yeah,
I can't.
Even when the division was bad, like walking into that 44-6 game, nobody knew. No. Nobody knew that was going to happen. I was shitting my pants for at least a quarter and a half because it was only 3-0. You were going back and forth. Then all of a sudden the floodgates opened and I just started laughing hysterically on everything that happened during that play. So I don't know. I bet you that there are more people that agree with BLG.
100%.
Right, BLG, like you,
because I'm right.
Yeah.
Listen, it'd be sweet.
Listen,
if
you're wrong. You're wrong about this, and you're wrong about mustard, and I won't have any of it. But so we have. What do we have? A couple more. First of all, Kerry Johnson, who I was just mentioning, who's also another one of our fabulous producers and Patreon subscribers, and you guys got to get ready too because the emails are coming on when you guys are going to come on the show this season. I can't believe that it's. taken this long, but it's also gone by so incredibly fast. So be ready for all that. She just says, "Do you wish you were here?" And it's a nice shot of there is literally no cloud in the sky pool. There's a little tiki walk up bar. It looks like. Also, random note, the pool snacks place bar, which is escaping me for some reason, has a Subway in it. So yes, I'm jealous of that, except for the Subway being there. So that, but other than that, I think that's pretty much going to wrap up the podcast here, BLG. Any final thoughts from you, sir?
Final thoughts? We are a ton of reviews away from 1,000 or even 800 on iTunes. Yeah. So please make sure you do that. Please give us a review. We very much appreciate it. Obviously, listen to the WIP show, which is this Saturday.
1 to 3 p.m.
1 to 3 p.m. We'll all be there. I think that just about does it. I'm looking forward to training camp. It's going to be a hellacious first week, 7 days straight, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the veterans arrive a little later, but for the guys who get there on Monday, or Sunday, rather, next week, and practice starts on Monday, it's going to be a long, tough stretch. I'm excited for football to be back, man. Like, it's been too long. I think the team can actually at least have a chance at being pretty good this year. You know, at least I think the playoffs are obviously in the mix. I can't believe we didn't talk about Doug Peterson's comment that the Eagles are better than a Super Bowl team that he was on. But I guess we're saving that for another time.
Yeah, we'll probably do that again midway. Even we might even do an extra early episode after this one, just after the rookies are reported and get into some of that stuff, because we wanted to do that, and we also wanted to talk about the actual window of the Eagles, and is it more a little more closed or a little more wide open in a bunch of people's viewpoints. But yeah, I mean, like, again, just to sneak it in real quick, I didn't have a problem with it. And this team should be a playoff team, and I am expecting them to be a playoff team. And if they're not, then it's a really easy, simple solution, and you kind of move on if it's a disastrous season. But continue, BLG.
Let's make the playoffs.
Jack Fritz, your final thoughts, my friend.
Just thanks for everyone for listening to the Counterpoint Podcast.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun through 2 weeks, and I hope you all enjoyed, and hope you keep listening. I will have training camp pass this year, and I don't plan on asking very serious questions.
Yes.
I want to ask questions like, would you ever call Alshon L? And I want to see these players' responses, and I don't know if I'm going to have a training camp pass by the first week.
Well, there you go. So Jack Fritz ruining everybody's credibility in 1 week, and
it all falls on my shoulder.
That's right. That's all you. I'm just going to say I'm also just excited for the entire season and the off season. And you guys have been incredible throughout this, and it's so much fun to just shoot the shit with you guys through the dead zone here. And there's just been so many good questions and interactions. And again, for our UK audience, you guys have been fantastic. There is a Facebook group for the BGN Radio listeners that are there. You can go seek us out. I think it's just BGN Radio UK. And there's been a lot of great posts, and we appreciate all the feedback, and we will try eventually to ramp up and get us over to London, because I think that would be a ton of fun. BGN Radio Daily is coming your way. And on Monday, I know there's been a little bit of delay with Upon Further Review. Vince has been in Aruba enjoying some time there. No big deal. Apparently, he doesn't even like the ocean, and he's going to Aruba. So I don't understand
what?
That one.
But doesn't like the ocean?
I know. It's insane to me. But we do have two back-to-back episodes of Upon Further Review. One is with me and talking about 4th and 26 with a bunch of different old Eagles on there, and we're trying to get Deuce Daly, so that's the only thing that's kind of holding that up. And then also he's got another one, a great one, back-to-back, so we'll kind of release those in the next few days here. And then also, along with that, Vince has put together some pretty awesome desktop and phone photos for training camp to get you ready to rock and roll, and we'll be releasing those on bgnradio.com on that same day, on Monday. We'll have a ton of cool little different Photoshops, and we'll get the Eagle schedules prepared for you guys, and it's going to be a really fun season. We're looking forward to it, and it all starts with training camp on Monday. For myself, I am John Bartram, for Jack Fritz, and of course, Brandon Lee Gouton. This has been BGN Radio, episode number 246, right here on BleedingGreenNation.com and BGNRadio.com.